It is so great that it is foolishness for us to fight our own battles. There's not a person sitting in this room that doesn't battle something every single day. It can be a thought, it can be a struggle, it can be something that you have no control over, which is pretty much everything. But what I want you to think about as you reflect over that song lyric and prepare your heart to hear from the word of the Lord is this. Every single believer is powerless to defeat all that comes against us. And our God is strong enough to defeat everything that comes against us. And so that mental picture that's drawn up for us in that song is I think back to when the army surrounded the prophet of God, and the servant Gehazi went outside and he looked up on the hill and he said, "Oh, we're in bad shape." And he said, "Lord, just let him see what I can see." And for us as believers, what we're doing here and what we're trying to remind ourselves is there are battles that we're all facing. And all that the enemy would love to do and discourage you with, he is already undone. His defeat came at Calvary, and he is just waiting for the fulfillment of that. And so, Christians, be encouraged. You fight your battles by standing still and seeing the salvation of your God. All right. Now, I didn't get to preach today, so I had to get something in. All right. Now, we have the blessing and privilege of having the Lees with us again, and Bob and Miss Joanne, I'm just so glad to have you both with us. At first, I didn't see you when I saw him walk in, and I almost canceled Sunday because you weren't here, but you're here, and we're glad you're here, too. And he's going to come and share about the scripture printing ministry again and just encourage our hearts and share from the word. So, brother, will you come and just lay the word on us, and we'll be glad to receive it.
Thank you, Preacher. God bless you. That was good preaching, amen? Thought, hey, man, just keep on. That's good stuff. And that's really good stuff. My wife and I, we are very delighted to be back. And, Preacher, I want to thank you again for the privilege to be here. I do not take coming and preaching for granted. I do not take coming here on Sunday morning, my wife and I, and coming at Calvary's, here at Calvary's Cross. And we do not take it for granted. It is a great honor, and it is a great blessing. And thank you, Preacher, for opening up your pulpit for me this morning. And I am eternally grateful. God bless you. And we had the privilege of pastoring for 32 years, a little over 32 years. And now we are in our seventh year with Mount Pisgah Scripture Printing. You say, Preacher, what do? We print Bibles. We print the book. We print the book that made America great. We print the book, you open it up and you see Jesus on every page. We print the book. To this book I will cling, of its wealth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. I will not despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Thank God for this old blessed book called the Bible. Folks, eternity is a long time. The person sitting next to you will spend eternity somewhere. Every person that passed down this road, Highway 98 this morning, going east and west, every person will spend eternity one day somewhere. Every person that closed their eyes on last evening will spend eternity somewhere. Every person that opened their eyes this morning will spend eternity somewhere. And could I say this morning that eternity is a long time? As a matter of fact, eternity never ends. Sunday will end and go into Monday. Monday will go into Tuesday. A week will go into a month. A month will go into a year. A year will go into a decade. A decade will go into a century. The century will go into a millennium. And the millennium will reach on into eternity. It never ends. So you are alive this morning, you will be alive a million years from now, somewhere. Eternity never ends. It never ends. We don't think about it much. And because, as the preacher said, well, we're tied up here in this life, amen. But eternity is forever. It's a long, long time. And this is one of the reasons that Joanne and I, we're in our seventh year with Mount Pisgah Printing. We're getting the Bible into the hands of those who have never had a copy of the Bible. And as they open up the Bible, we print in 22 different languages at least now. And they can open up the Bible to John 3:16, and they can read in their own language. We print in 22 different languages, as I mentioned just a moment ago. And they can open it up and they can read, maybe for the very first time in their life, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We have, we print the New Testament. This is a Russian New Testament. And I looked at it. That's not because I can read Russian, but I do. I can read these two. This is a German whole Bible. And we print the whole Bible. This is a military New Testament. And we print thousands of those. Well, if I had time, I could tell you a lot about where we put those and so forth. Maybe I will as I go through the message and whatever. And we print John and Romans. And we have just got through printing over 500,000 and getting them into the country of Guatemala. And what the missionaries there plan on doing is, and they're planning on one day being able to supply each one of them that received a John and Romans, they are planning on giving them a whole Bible one day. And we hope they will be able to have a part in that. And we can only have a part in that because of churches like Calvary's Cross Baptist Church. When Joanne and I go into a church, we ask folks to do three things. Pray for us. Pray for us. And we need your prayers. We cover from Florida. We cover 9 different states. Florida to Virginia, Tennessee, West Virginia. We have been to Mississippi. And we go into churches like this one. And we encourage them to pray for us. Secondly, we encourage them to partner with us. And we've got all the facilities. They are in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. And we've got modern equipment. And we can print Bibles. And we have missionaries calling all the time. And the sad thing about this is we cannot fulfill all the requests for Bibles in all the countries that request them. We cannot fulfill them. And that's one of the things that tears at our heart. And I ask H.B., who runs the print shop, and H.B., what is the greatest thing we need? He said, preacher's paper. We need paper. We need paper to print the Bible. And we go into church and say, will you pray for us? Will you partner with us? And will you provide paper for the printing of God's Word? And we cannot do it without you. I do not know of a greater gift than one day place into the hands of a man or woman or boy or girl a copy of God's Word. And it's the greatest book that has ever been written. It will be the greatest book that will ever be written down through the corridors of time. And so this is what we do. We provide most of our Bibles go to those who have never had a copy of the Bible. They've never been able to hold one like you and I hold. And my Bible, this one's about worn out, but although the cover's worn and though the pages are torn and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter our fears. Thank God for the old blessed book called the Bible. I hope you read it. I hope you love it. I hope you obey it. I hope you ask God when you read it to open up your understanding as you look into the pages of a Bible that was not written by man but God. It was God who gave the words, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 1. For the prophets that came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Ghost. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is practical. That's one of the things I like about it. It's powerful. Nothing like God's word. And so I hope you will read the Bible. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It will guide me today. It will guide me tomorrow. It will guide me the next day. It convicts me. It convicts me of sin. It convicts me of righteousness. It convicts me of those things that I ought not to be doing. It convicts me of those things that I ought to be doing. And for the Word of God is powerful. 2 Peter chapter 4. So there's no book like this book called the Bible. This book will lead you to Jesus. This book will convict you of your sin. This Bible will make you a better believer in Jesus Christ. When you provide a Bible to those who have never had a copy of the Bible, what a wonderful, great blessing. I got this newsletter last month, well, June 15, and this gives the total scriptures we have sent out since the last newsletter, which was April the 18th, so April, May, June, 2 months. And here is what we sent out in the 2 months from April to June, and we'll be getting another report. Total scriptures sent out since April 18, 2019. We sent out 200,240 Swabana John and Romans to the Philippines. Printed 770 English John and Romans, 1,516 English whole Bibles, 95,060 Spanish John and Romans, 696 Spanish whole Bibles, 20,440 Swabana New Testament. Again, this is language of the Philippines. 328 English New Testaments. 16,240 Hungalos, John and Romans. 460 Spanish New Testaments. 444 USA English New Testaments. And we still have ongoing projects that we are working on for Honduras, Guatemala, Bolivia, Korea, Venezuela, and other countries. You say, preacher, what do we need? What do you need? Oh, we need your help. We need your help. And Joanne and I this morning, we stand in the stead of the multiplied hundreds of thousands one day who will receive a copy of God's Word. We're not here for ourselves. We're here in the stead of those who have never had a copy of God's Word. We're here this morning in the stead of those who still walk in darkness and have never seen the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I was born in America. I didn't get saved till the age of 27. Never had a Bible. Let me rephrase. I was going to say never had a Bible until I got saved. But back when the Gideons could place Bibles in the public schools, in the fourth grade, I received a little Gideon New Testament. At the age of 27, when I got saved, my friend said, "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "No, I've never owned a Bible." Age of 27, living in America, never had a Bible. And then when he brought me, he went to town and bought a brand new Bible, and he brought it to me, and he gave it to me. And I still remember then how my heart failed when he handed me that Bible, a copy of God's Word. And what I've tried to do, I've tried to multiply that a million times in my heart and a million times in my soul to see how those that you'll never see, you'll never meet them. But you can have a part in them receiving a copy of God's Word. And how they, Joanne and I, we have different videos and so forth. And we went to one of the islands. And we managed to find us a place in an old church. And another missionary and myself and his wife. And we rented a bedroom. And we didn't know whether they was going to have a refrigerator or stove or... Joanne and the other missionary's wife were praying they wouldn't have a stove. But we were praying, and we were thinking about, well, what we'll have to do is, if they don't have a refrigerator, what we'll have to do is we'll have to get an old wash tub. You know how back in those days, and I can remember I lived for 12 years, my first 12 years, I didn't know what it was to go to an indoor bathroom. We didn't have one. We went outside with the snakes and the spiders. And that's where we went. But anyway, we were able to get a room in an old church. And they had a refrigerator. And we were so excited. We went to the grocery store and came back. We bought things for a week or a little more than a week. And we got up the next morning. Everything was full of ants. Had thrown it all away. Everything that we had opened, full of ants. And then we had to go back and redo again. But we got rid of those ants. We got some ant spray. and we got rid of those ants. And but we stayed there. They had a big basketball court at the end of the church building. And we didn't have to go out and get a crowd on Friday night. The crowd came to us. Hundreds of people. That's all they had to do on the island was play basketball and watch basketball on Friday night. And what a joy to pass out all the Bibles that we had. We would go into villages and we'd pass out all the Bibles that we had. And people would come up and say, "Do you have a Bible for me? Do you have a Bible for me?" And with a broken heart, we'd have to say, "I'm sorry. We don't have any more. We've given out all of them." And so I come this morning, and so many different stories that I could tell you. And I ask you, would you help us? Would you help us purchase paper to print Bibles? One thing I like about what Joanne and I do is that every dime that comes in, none goes to me. I take care of my own expenses. I have people that help me, churches and others that help me with my expenses. None of what a person gives goes to anybody but to purchase paper. It doesn't go to secretaries. It doesn't go to anybody else. Every dime that's given goes to purchase paper to print the book that made America great, called the Bible. Open your Bibles quickly this morning to the book of Luke chapter 4. And maybe at the end, if I could, Pastor, after you're finished or whatever, if some of the folks have any kind of questions about our ministry, about what we do or anything else, if you'd like to ask that, then we would be more than happy to answer all those questions for you. Oh, I could tell you a story about how we printed these Bibles right here, German Bibles. We had a missionary on the island of Belize. And he ran into Germans that didn't have a Bible. Now, there's high German and low German, and I don't know any German. High German or low German or whatever the case may be. I do speak two languages, being from Virginia. I speak English and Virginian. And so, thank the Lord, I can speak two languages. And but there was a missionary, he met these Germans, and they didn't have a Bible. None of them had a Bible. And he called Mount Pisgah. Is there any way possible that you can get Low German? That's what they speak. And they speak Low German, not High German. It's full of Dutch words. And it's a lot different. And anyway, we found the text. And we were able to print the German Bible. And we sent 1,000 German Bibles to the mission on the island of Belize. And there, those Germans for the very first time had their own Bible in their own language. Because of people like you that sit in churches like we go into almost every Sunday, that help us purchase paper to print Bibles. I wish I could repay you. I can't. I wish I could. But I know there's one keeping the records. God's keeping the records. And one day He'll pay you when we get yonder on the other side, which I don't believe it's going to be much longer. And whether it's His coming or whether the Lord sends the angel for us, amen. Either way, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and all God's people said, amen. And when we come to Luke's Gospel chapter 4, we come to our Lord Jesus Christ. And after He had returned from the Jordan there and led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and the devil comes and the devil gives him 3 questions. And you know how the Lord answers every one of the questions from the devil? Sort of like what the preacher said this morning. You can't live this life in your own. And he answered it by saying, "It is written." That's how he answered the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. And then the Bible said there in verse 13, it said, "And when the Lord... And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." And that's what the devil will do to you. The devil will just depart for a season. For a day. Maybe not even a day. For an hour. Maybe not even an hour. A half an hour. But he's coming back. But our Lord had a purpose. Verse 14 says, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with a custom if it's for God. Amen. You and I have a custom every Sunday morning. Amen. Sunday school preaching. If you have a Sunday night, Wednesday night. And as our custom was, Sunday morning in church, Sunday night in church, Wednesday night in church, revival in church, or whatever, as our custom is. Amen. And verse 17 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So the book of Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature. You say, preacher, how can I do that? How can I go and how can I obey that? How can I go into all the world and preach the gospel, this good news to every creature? Oh, you can go through Mount Pisgah. Many of you will never go to a mission field. But you can help fulfill God's command. Go into all the world by prayer, by giving, by sending missionaries, by delivering Bibles, by sending Bibles. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Don't leave anybody out. Every creature. How important is the gospel? Well, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, how important is the Bible? It's important that every creature hears it. Because a soul is worth more than the entire world. All the diamonds and the gold and everything that's contained therein. A man or woman is a fool to spend all their wealth and everything else in this world for this world's goods and spend nothing for eternity. One day we'll stand in front of the holy God. We'll give an account. We'll give an account how we live this life. We'll give an account how we fulfill Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to who? Preach it to every creature. Every creature. Coming down the road, we saw a marquee, Joanne and I, and after I was able to get my eyes open this morning. But I enjoy getting up early because I go to bed early. Somebody said, you get up with the chickens. Do you go to bed with the chickens? I sure do, but I get up with the chickens too. And so that makes a difference, amen. But I saw a marquee, and it said, the gospel is not just good news. It's the best news that ever was. And I thought, oh boy, that's pretty good. It's not just good news, even though that's what it means, the gospel, good news. If there's anything this world needs, it's good news. And I don't know of anything greater, or anything sweeter, or anything more fulfilling, or anything more profitable to be able to hear the good news that a man can be saved from his sin. Nothing any greater than that. What sweet words that was to my ears and my heart that day, the age of 27. When a man took the Bible and opened the Bible and showed me that I could be forgiven of all my sins. I said, you mean to tell me God will forgive me of all my sins? He said, yes, he will. At the age of 27, I bowed my head, bended my knee, invited Christ into my life. You know what happened? He changed my life. Gave me something a whole lot better than what I had. That's what the Lord has. Amen. Now, the devil will tell you that the world's a whole lot better than being a Christian, but it's not. It's not. The Christian life, and I will be on September the 1st. How old will I be, honey? 77, thank you. And she helps me out in a lot of ways. And from 27 to 77, well, about 50 years. That's a long time, amen. And you know what? I've never regretted it. I've never regretted it. I've never regretted it. I'm sort of like old Gypsy Smith. You heard the story about Gypsy Smith, great evangelist one day. And this guy went to hear him preach. And heard him preach when he was a young fella. And Gypsy just, man, he tore up the platform. I mean, he was so excited about God, so excited about having sins forgiven. And wanted everybody to be saved. Amen. Don't you want everybody to be saved? And that's the way Gypsy Smith was. Man, he wanted everybody to be saved. And he was a young preacher. Well, the same guy went back to hear him when he was an older preacher. Went back to hear him preach. Old Gypsy Smith got up there and had the same fire and the same fervor and had it all. And the guy after the service went up to him and said, Gypsy said, I heard you preach when you was a young evangelist. I heard you preach now when you're a much older evangelist. What's the secret? Gypsy Smith looked in the eyeball and said, I never lost the wonder of it all. Ever since I've been saved, I've never lost the wonder of it all. I've never lost the wonder of it all, how that God would come and save a sinner like me. Straighten up my life. Give me a purpose for living. Put joy in my heart. Peace in my soul. I'm telling you, there's not anything like it. Amen. I'd whole lot rather have what I have this morning, knowing my sins are forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, and that I can do a little something to obey Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and get the gospel to those who have never heard. I'm so excited about that this morning. I'd rather do that than have $1 million. If I had $1 million, my wife would spend it. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? You know why you were saved? Because of the gospel. Where's the gospel found? Not in Time magazine. Where's all the gospel found? It's found in the Bible. How do I know Jesus will forgive sinners? Found in the Bible. That's how it's found. It's found right here. God said so. Settled. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And boy, those who have Bibles are able to open the Bible. And boy, you know, not only, I don't have time to talk about this morning. I love along the lines what the preacher was talking about. And not only does the Bible save you from sin, the Bible will help you in life. Amen. It'll help you in life. Nothing like it. Nothing like the good news found in the Bible. The book the devil hates and the saints love. The book that liberals make fun of. The book that despots scorn but angels bow. Thank God for the good news that has gone down through the quarters of time, singing out through the ages, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And it's all found right here in this book called the Bible. It is good news for bad times. And we're living in bad times, amen? Good news for bad times. It's the greatest news that a sinner can ever hear, the gospel. It's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. The good news. Over 100 times. I mentioned Mark 16, 15. Preach the gospel to every creature. Romans 1, 15. To preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. What was Paul's purpose in going to Rome? Preach the gospel. Acts chapter 8. He preached the gospel in many villages. Chapter 11. And there they preach the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 it says to be put in trust with the gospel. When a man becomes president or any other time, a lot of folks put what they have in trust. Somebody else take care of. To watch over it. To see what's been instructed about it would be carried out legally, honestly, and with a purpose. Well, that's exactly what God did with the church. And Paul, writing here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, said to be put in trust with the gospel. God looked down through the quarters of time and said, I'm going to put the church in trust with the gospel. They'll do what's right by it. They'll get it to the ends of the world. And thank God for churches like this. Who get the gospel to the end of the world. God put it in our trust. I know you'll do what's right with it, church. I died for the gospel. I am the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. And I know you'll do what's right with the gospel. I know you'll try to provide it to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl so they can have the opportunity to be saved. I know you will, church. I'm putting you in trust with the gospel. No greater word than the word gospel. It's truth. The Bible is truth. Jesus said it was. John chapter 17, verse 7. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Yesterday when I read the Bible, I didn't have to open it up and say, "Now I wonder if that's true." Or when you listen to the news, or you listen to television, or read the newspaper, or read a blog, and you wonder, I wonder if that's true. And most of the time, probably not. But that's not the way when you open up this book. When you open up this book, it's the gospel. It's true. It's truth. Jesus said so. I want to thank you for allowing me to come today. Just try to encourage you to help us with the gospel. I was preaching in a church once, and the preacher said, "We're going to take a," at the end of the service, said, "We're going to take a love offering now for Mount Pisgah." And so I made my way down the aisle going back to the table there while they would take up the love offering for Mount Pisgah. And as I was walking out, and this lady stepped out in the middle of the aisle, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "here, I've got something for you." And she handed it to me, and it was four $1 bills and $2 in change. And she said, "That's $6. And she said, "Here are my two little grandsons. They were 9 and 11. And she said, "They heard you say that you could print a Bible for $3. For $3, you could print a Bible." And preacher, they pooled their money. It's all they've got. They pooled their money. And here's the $6 so the two little boys like them will have a copy of the Bible. Oh, would to God we'd all get that kind of fervor. Because eternity is a long time. Now I know what the devil does. And you may be here this morning and you know, the devil is just, you know, kept you from listening or gave you all kind. I don't know. That's the devil's purpose. He wants to deceive you into not thinking about eternity, not thinking about the things of God, not thinking about things that are really, really, really true. Well, I'm closing. As you and I give a Bible to those who have never heard, those you'll never see, and they read the gospel, three things will happen. They will receive a pardon for the past, power for the present, and a promise for the future. Ooh, I wish I could preach on that this morning. With my heart to your heart, thank you for allowing us to come this morning. And once again, just to share what the Lord continues to do. I'm glad God loves the world, aren't you? I'm glad God is concerned about the world, aren't you? I'm glad God loved me enough. And I had so much here to tell you about more about the Bible. And And I do have one of these, and I have some of these in the back. These are statements from great men about the Bible. And goes all the way from George Washington, all the way up to, I think, Ronald Reagan. And what I want to do is I want to update it, and I want to put some other things in here about or quotes from other men about the Bible. But you can have one of those. You can pick it up at the back on the back table back there. And if I run out, then I'll send some more to the preacher. And you can, I promise you, you'll get one of them. And so there's no book like this book. Could I ask you a question in closing? Have you read it this week? Have you read it every day? I know we live busy sometimes. You come home tired and things happen. But could I just encourage you, don't neglect the Bible. That's the reason the Bible compares it to food for us, spiritual food for us. And thank you for helping us get it to multiplied millions. We have printed millions of Bible and placed it into the hands of those who have never had a copy. I want to say thank you. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to give your heart to Jesus, to get saved. Just like I did at the age of 27. I didn't know how to pray. The guy said, "Won't you pray?" I said, "I don't know how to pray. I know how to do a lot of things, but I don't know how to pray." He had to help me pray. But it wasn't so much about the prayer. It was about who I trusted. That night, I trusted Jesus. He's been my Savior ever since. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That was His promise. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I'm going to ask us to all stand, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we're going to take just a couple of minutes. I don't know how you usually do this, preacher, but I'll just take a couple of minutes and pause or whatever, and then I'll turn it over to you. And if you're unsaved, the preacher's here, and you just come and tell him, you know, today I want to be saved. He'll let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved and how to know it. Would you bow your head just for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to pray in closing this morning and before the preacher takes it. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I cannot say for sure that I'm 100% knowing that I'm saved, I want you to pray for me." I'll pray for you. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you. Anybody here this morning say, "Preacher, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" I'm going to ask you to do something there in the quietness of your own heart. Would you pray for the multiplied millions that one day will receive a copy this year from Mount Pisgah Scripture Printing? Would you there in the quietness of your own heart pray that God would open up their hearts, take away the blindness from their eyes so that they can see? And also while you're praying, pray that we'll be able to fulfill more of the requests that we get for Bibles. Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning for your love to us. I thank you for the blessed book and called the Bible. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you for those that have helped us with it down through the ages. Thank you for this good preacher and this good church that has helped us now for several years. And we're so very, very grateful. Thank you for your mercy and grace, and thank you for loving us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So that's why it's so important. We want to see people, like Brother Lee was talking about, we want to see people go from an eternity separated from God and an everlasting conscience torment to being in the absolute presence and perfection and joy of God for forever. And they're going to need to hear the Word of God to do that. And so we can't go to everybody, but we can be a part of what God's given us to be a part of. And so that's what you're going to do now. And so you guys take a seat for a second, and if I could have our ushers come forward. And here's what we're going to do. I just want one set of ushers right now, just one. And this set of ushers is coming by for this reason. They're coming by to get whatever gifts the Lord has laid on your heart to give to Mount Pisgah. This is not the normal offering. This is the Mount Pisgah Scripture Printing Ministry offering. And so when it comes by, if you say to yourself, well, I've only got a dollar, I promise you this, I don't think you'll find anywhere better or anything better to spend that dollar on than on being a part of getting God's word to somebody. And some of you have a lot more than a dollar, though. And I know that about you. And I would like to see you give and give with a cheerful heart to see that the Lord would just bless this ministry. And so now as our ushers pray, I just ask that you would just open your heart and give as the Lord leads.